Well, good morning. You guys are alive and well today. It's a great Sunday, about 1,000 degrees out like it is in August in Louisiana. I'm glad to be here and excited for today's message. You know, last week we started week one of New Ways, Rerouting Your Spiritual Life. And the reason we're calling that is because just as many people use the Waze app to help them avoid traffic and problems and get them to their destination most efficiently, there are some things that because we believe, when we act that out in specific ways, it helps us get to the place that God's called us to be. And this whole series is about spiritual disciplines. And so spiritual disciplines are some basic things that we can do because we believe. Doing isn't what makes us right with God, but when we are right with God, we want to grow in Him. And so we do some things, like one of them, hey, you're coming to church. That's great, because that's a great place where you can connect with people. You can grow in your walk with God by hearing scripture, by worshiping together and growing together. That's something that sometimes you have to do even though you don't feel like it. Amen? I don't ever say like amen, but like there like needs to be an amen because it's almost like a drop the mic moment. That's what amen actually meant, like the end. We're done. That's it. It's amazing. It's so true because the reality is I'm the pastor and sometimes I don't want to go to church, but I've got to. That was supposed to be funny. Apparently, it's not funny at all. So I'm like, he doesn't want to go sometimes. No, sometimes I'm tired and I want to sleep in. Let's just be honest. I can't watch myself online, can I? But when, because we love God, we say, you know what? I want to grow in Him. And we begin to do things inwardly that make a difference. Outwardly, that people can see, because it's something that we're doing is an outward expression of our faith. And then together as a church, when we engage in those things that we're doing something, God shows up. You know, inner righteousness doesn't come through what we do. I want you to understand that. That inner righteousness is a gift from God. It's a gift from Him. There's nothing I can do that can make me right with God. So I want you to avoid the temptation of taking discipline and turning it into regimen and ritual and ultimately law, because it'll just bury you and you'll be miserable. I want you to get righteousness comes from God. And that's His work. He's the one that brings the change about inside of us. That's what we're looking for. But that righteousness that comes because of God, that's His work, but our work is simply to be in His presence. Our work is to embrace His word and to live His way. And when we're in His presence and we surrender to His word and His way, He makes us right. And even though I did that years ago, there are some things because I'm right with God, I have to make myself do, because there's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. At essence, everyone here is a spiritual being. You're eternal. That means no healthy person wants to die, because the Bible very clearly states eternity is written on the hearts of men. Eternity. Because we are eternal. But there's this flesh thing that I love and hate at the same time. And like there's this battle between the flesh and the spirit. Like I do what I don't want to do. And I don't do what I want to do. And that doesn't seem to make any sense, does it? Okay, y'all have to talk to me. Like, does that seem to make sense to you? Like, there's things that I do that I hate that I do. Like, why did I do that again? That was dumb. That was stupid. That was ridiculous. I didn't like doing that, but I like doing it in the moment. Does that make sense to anybody? Does it resonate with anyone? So there are some things that we can discipline ourselves to do. And I'm going to ask everybody, can y'all do something for me right now? Can y'all scoot to the middle if you can, if you're able to? Because we packed out. Y'all see that? And we still got people standing and waiting. Can y'all do that like 2 seconds? I'm going to talk so it's not awkward. I could sing if you'd like, but it's pretty bad. You know, they won't give me, I'm a musician. They won't give me a mic to sing. Not that much laughing, okay? I'm joking. Here's the deal, is that because I love God, I want to do some things. And there may be some things that I don't want to do because my flesh says it wants to do its own thing. I was tempted this morning, honestly, really was. And I'll be honest, I gave in to the temptation. And I didn't want to. I didn't want to, but I wanted to at the same time. Have y'all had that conflict in your life?
Yes.
Yeah, because somebody in the AV booth brought in steaming hot Donut King glazed donuts. It's either from the pit of hell or it's directly descended from heaven. I can't figure out which one it is. And I only ate one, which for me was a pretty big discipline, but I didn't want to eat any at all, but I did at the same time. So I do, Paul says this way, he says, the things that I don't want to do, I do. And the things that I got it all confused. The things I don't want to do, I do. I probably just ought to go to the scripture, but the things I don't want to do, I do. And the things that I want to do, I don't do. Who's going to save me from this body of death? And the next verse, he says, it's Jesus. He says, Jesus Christ. Am I growing in my walk with him? You know, the whole point of this series is for you to grow. The key verse is Hebrews 12:11, which says, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. That means, says it right there, like, discipline in the moment. In other words, I'm going to do what I know I should do, even though I don't want to do it, but I do want to do it. It's just not fun because I'm doing the right thing because I want to become what God's called me to be. And if I don't do what I need to do, I'll never be what he's called me to become. Does that make sense at all? I know that was like all sorts of all over the place. All discipline seems not joyful, but sorrowful. It's not fun. Yet to those who have been trained by it, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. You're here because you want to be righteous. That means you want the righteousness of God in your life. Let me just say, it will not come from what you do. But what you do will help you walk out the righteousness that God has given you. Righteousness is not going to come because of what you do, but what you do will help you walk out the righteousness that God has given you. Spiritual disciplines, they're central to following Jesus. You want to know why? Because Jesus followed them. The simple inward disciplines that we're talking about today, meditation, prayer, fasting, study. These are not necessarily fun. I fasted this week. It was horrible. I don't like it. I love food. I'm a foodie. Any foodies up in here? So I'm just going to be transparent. I know I lose all my reward. I don't care. I'm helping to teach you guys. I did 2 days of just one meal. But one of those days was Rosita's Mexican. I think I ate about 5,000 calories because when you get the big horchata, I think that alone is this way. But the rest of the, like, I'm starving. Like, I'm hungry. But I grew through it. I want you to grow. And there are things that we can do because we love God and we want to know him more that make a big difference. So all of this for me is filtered through, at least this week, through the story of David. You know, last week we looked at Moses and how he did some things that he didn't want to do because he had a revelation from God, because he was willing to receive impartation from other people. And when the rubber met the road, he embraced dedication and he did what God called him to do, even though it was hard. It was a life of discipline. He embraced discipline, all because he had been in the presence of God. I want that for you. This week, the whole message was filtered for me through the life of David, like David and Goliath, who, if you know his story, he was just a kid, but he had a heart for God, and he loved God. And he spent his childhood as a shepherd taking care of sheep. But he didn't just take care of sheep. He sang songs to God, to the sheep. He meditated on God's goodness and who God was. He remembered what he was being taught by his family and by the teachers around him of who God was. Like, We know through the life of David that he was a man who fasted, who studied. And he was a kid, probably just a 14 or 15-year-old boy, when an entire nation who was scared to death, an army no less, was scared to death of one man. He was the only person who could see the giant for who he was. Y'all know the story of David and Goliath, don't you? Even if you didn't grow up in church, you know the story of David facing Goliath, who was taunting the nation of Israel, saying, "We're going to kill you all." And in fact, though, I'm so confident, Goliath was saying, "I'm so confident in who I am that you send out any one warrior, and if he beats me, y'all beat the whole army. We give up." And nobody could see from God's perspective. They all saw things through the flesh, through the eyes of the flesh, and they saw this huge giant that nobody could defeat. They saw an army that was equally as big, and they said, "We're toast. Maybe at best we can defend this ground, and maybe I won't die." But most of them were hopeless. And one young man, walks up and he looks at the giant and he sees him through not a flesh perspective, he sees him through a God perspective. How did that happen? Because he had disciplined himself to be in the presence of God, to meditate, to pray, to fast, to study. I want to challenge you to do those four things as well. I'm just going to read a few things that I wrote. Willpower will not work to overcome spiritual strongholds in your life because the power of God is never experienced in the strength of your flesh. If you got something that's keeping you back, that's holding you down, listen to me carefully, your willpower will not be what overcomes that thing. So don't think that spiritual disciplines in and of themselves are powerful. What's powerful is that when you embrace a spiritual discipline like prayer or meditation or fasting or study, you're in the presence of God. And when you are with him, he begins to speak to you. And he speaks to you about who he is and about who you are and what he's called you to be and what he's called you to do. That's how David faced a giant. And the reason that people have giants in their lives is because they're spending their time looking at the giant and listening to what he says and not spending time in the presence of God telling the God who will tell them who they are and who he is and that they can defeat that thing. So we need to stop focusing on not doing the wrong things. Come on, let's be honest. How many of y'all spent a pretty good amount of time trying to like, okay, I'm not going to do that. Has anybody ever? Yeah, I've done that. Let's spend our time focusing on what we can do because our actions change things. So here's what we can do. Meditation. You ready? I'm going to go through these four relatively quickly. Here's the first one, meditation. I will say this, in our society today, the enemy, he focuses on three things: noise, hurry, and crowds. The psychiatrist, he's a Christian psychiatrist, Carl Jung, he says, "Hurry is not of the devil, hurry is the devil." And you know, my wife has banned me from saying, like literally, she's like, says I'm not allowed to say it. Do you know what it is? Hurry, hurry up, hurry up. Several years ago, she said, "You are not allowed to tell anyone in this family, hurry up." I think she was calling me the devil. You know, I'm just, and I was probably being a devil in that moment. She's a very wise woman. So here's what meditation is. Meditation is clearing your mind of this world so that you can hear God from his. That's all meditation is, clearing your mind of this world. I have a tremendous ability. I believe it's a God-given ability. It's one that I think many men have the ability to do this. In fact, their wives will often point it out, and it's usually pointed out by the wives with a question. "What are you thinking?" Men, what's the answer? Nothing. And the funny thing is that it's true. It's true. Eastern meditation, the goal of Eastern meditation is nothingness and detachment. But that's not the meditation that we see biblically. Biblical meditation is you not thinking about the craziness of this world and this realm. It's you setting your heart and mind on God's world and His realm. So how do we meditate? Psalms 1, how blessed David. David was big inspiration for me this week. How blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked. David's talking about himself. Nor stand, at least at this moment when he wrote it, because if you read his story, he wasn't always non-wicked. Nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. What is meditation for the Christian? It's a discipline that we can engage in, that we can quiet the world around us. Can I just say, you'll never quiet the world around you if you can't even quiet the room around you. Find a place that's quiet. Quiet your soul. Quiet your mind. And the goal isn't detachment and nothingness. We're not looking for Zen. We're looking to set our mind, really reset our mind on God's word and His ways. Oh Lord, Psalms 19:14, oh Lord, you're my rock and my redeemer. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Lord, I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to trust in you. I'm just going to quote it because I can't paraphrase it. I'm going to trust in the Lord with all of my heart, and I'm going to lean not on my own understanding. God, in all my ways, I'm going to acknowledge you, and I know you're going to direct my path. Let me just remain quiet. We set our mind on God's word, God's works. God, I remember laying in bed at night in Lafayette at my grandmother's house when you spoke to me about Lake Charles. I remember it. Thank you. Meditation is not hard, but it's something we should discipline ourselves to do. Why? Because Jesus did it. Because David did it. Because if your mind is so full of this world, you'll forget about God's, even at church. And I'm a pastor, and that's happened to me before. Because you can get so wrapped up in the world around you that you forget about the real one, and it's not this one. That's meditation. The next discipline is prayer. Oh, man, prayer is pretty amazing. Prayer is the central avenue that God uses to transform us. Why is that? Because prayer is not simply about you talking to God. Prayer is not you reciting something that you've memorized, though it actually can be. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Is that a prayer? Or did I just engage in ritual? Like, prayer is it's not about mindless repetition. Now that prayer that's Matthew 6, where Jesus' disciples ask him how to pray. And he says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. God, you're holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then you listen. And then you pray from your heart. Prayer isn't about reciting something that you've memorized, though it can be. That, because, like, in all honesty, I just kind of blocked you all out when I started the second time, and I really was praying, and I want God's kingdom to come and for earth to be just like it is in heaven. That's a pretty bold prayer, isn't it? Do you engage in prayer? David says, Psalm 86, O Lord, hear my prayer. I need your help. Protect me. I'm devoted to you. Save me. I serve you and trust you. I'm just randomly reading through parts of 86. With all my heart, I praise you. I'm giving glory to your name forever. You've rescued me from the depths of death. do you pray? Both meditation and prayer are learned. I want you all to say that with say, meditation and prayer are learned. You ready? Here we go. Meditation and prayer are learned. What does that mean? That means you can grow in it. And so I'm here to encourage you to grow in meditation and prayer. And here's the three things that you need to remember about meditation and prayer. Consistency is key. That's one. Consistency is key. If I talked to my wife once a week for just a few minutes, would that be the foundation for a healthy, life-giving relationship? Yeah. Maybe. My wife wouldn't say that. It can be the start. It can be the start. Because when I first met her, we weren't spending every waking moment. And we weren't sleeping in the same bed, maybe as much as some of y'all with y'all's wife wanted to. I'm just saying. Consistency is key in meditation and prayer. Consistency, find a time and find a place and make it consistent. Mine's in the morning and I know where my place is. I have my chair, it's quiet, nobody's around. I can meditate, I can pray, I can study. Do that. Consistency, time, place. Pray. By the way, I'm going to say this. None of these disciplines are mandated. That means God doesn't demand that you do them. But I will say, I think they're expected because Jesus said, when you pray. Jesus said, when you fast. He expected it. Why? Because anybody that wants to grow is going to pursue relationship. You're going to pursue it. This is how you pursue it. Meditation, prayer. Here's the next one, fasting. Biblically, fasting. Like there's all different types of fasting. You can Google fasting and you can find all sorts of things that you can fast. And I've advocated fasting from social media, fasting from technology, fasting from screens. But biblically, the only thing that we see biblically that's fasting is defined in the Bible. Then, by the way, there's nothing wrong with giving up screens or giving up technology or giving up a hobby or something because it's distracting you from what you know you need to be devoted to. But biblical fasting is all about giving up food for a period of time for spiritual growth. Here's why. Because fasting is the best avenue to discover. We can put that up. Put that definition up. Fasting is the best avenue to discover what is controlling you. Our world says that every appetite should be satisfied. And in our country, we think that if you have not eaten three meals a day with snacks in between, you are in danger of starving. We're not. We're not. We're really not. And there's something that happens when you deny your flesh its appetite. That your stomach will grumble, that it is not comfortable, it is not fun, but it reveals your spiritual appetites as well. And you'll be able to more clearly see what it is that has a hold on you. At key moments, we see men of God fasting. David fasted. David fasted because he had messed up royally. Jesus fasted. Jesus fasted before he went into ministry, before he knew that he was going to be in a time of ministry and giving of himself, because he wanted to ensure, I really believe, that he wanted to ensure that he was in perfect communion with the Father. It's the same for us. Am I meditating? Am I praying? Am I fasting? Can I tell you, they're all areas that we can grow in. Fasting's hard, and it's progressive. So I would not recommend you jump into a 40-day water-only fast because you want to be like Jesus. If you've not fasted before, how about fast one meal a week? And instead of eating, take that time to seek God. Here's the fourth way that we can embrace these inward disciplines. It's study. once again, through the life of David, the longest chapter in the Bible was written by him. Psalms 119. And he says, how can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I've tried hard to find you. David, the great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather of Jesus. David, the most famous king of all time. David, whom the Bible says, the only person in the Bible we say that he was a man after God's own heart. David says, I've tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your instructions. Give me understanding. I'll obey your instructions. Give me an eagerness for your laws rather than a love of money. Turn my eyes from worthless things. Give me life through your word. And he devoted his life to God's word. He says, your laws are wonderful. No wonder I obey them. The teaching of your word gives light so that even the simple can understand. Why don't people study? I think people don't study for three simple reasons. Number one, they're intimidated to study God's word. They're fearful. Like, it's too big. Like, this is not a small book. This is a big book. And this intimidates a lot of people. Don't let it. Just consistently pick it up. In 10 minutes a day, if you faithfully spend 10 minutes a day in a Bible reading plan, 15 maybe, I'll say 15 maybe. If you do that every day, at the end of a year, you will have more than read through the entire Bible. And if you've never read through the entire Bible, get in a Bible reading plan. I use the McShane Bible reading plan. It's on the YouVersion app. That's what I do every day. Study God's word. Many people don't because they're fearful. Or they're ignorant. They don't know how to study because studying is a learned behavior. I'm actually going to be posting more on that. Like, how do we study? And then the third reason that people don't study is just because they're lazy or distracted. Study God's word. Study God's word. How do we study? Like, how do we learn, really? How do we learn? You want to know how we learn? I've had a lot of people say, man, you know an awful lot of scripture. How do you memorize all that scripture? Guess how you memorize scripture? You repeat it over and over and over. This is how everyone, I don't care who you are, this is how everyone learns. You ready? Repetition. Everybody say repetition. Repetition. Say it again. Repetition. Say it again. Repetition. Say it again. Repetition. That's how you learn. You learn through repetition. This is a law of life. We learn through repetition. How do I study? I'm consistently studying over and over. I'm not intimidated by a 2,000-page novel. At one time in my life, I absolutely would have been. But I started reading really young and just started with the small C-spot run. And I've done that so often of reading and moving and going and bigger and more and to where now a novel this thick, doesn't intimidate me at all. I'm not fearful because I'm no longer ignorant because through repetition, I've learned how to study. Meditation, prayer, fasting, study. Meditation and prayer, take those first two. Find a time, find a place, do it consistently. Those alone will transform your life and you'll hear from God more clearly than you ever have before. Fasting and study. Fasting. One meal a week and seek God. Let me just remind you, what you do is not going to make you right with God, but what you do when you pursue Him is you find Him and He brings transformation to you and He helps you to walk out the righteousness that He's called you to. Study. Make it consistent. I do meditation, prayer, and study in the mornings. Find a time. Maybe you're not a morning person. That's all right. My wife is not a morning person. She's a night person. Nighttime is when she studies. And either way, it's at the beginning of the day, because the sun comes up for us as the beginning of the day. But in Jewish culture, when the Bible was written, by the way, the beginning of the day, and today even still in Jewish culture, begins when the sun goes down. So either way, it's at the beginning of the day. It's something new. Just do it consistently. And here's what happens when you do it consistently. And once again, we can look at the life of David. Here's what happens. Here's the results of embracing spiritual discipline. It brings us to the place. It brings us to the place of understanding. It brings us to the place of understanding. Understanding. We begin to understand who God is more clearly. We begin to understand who we are. This is how David faced the giant, because he embraced the disciplines of being in God's presence, and he got an understanding of who God was and who he was, and then ultimately understanding what his calling was, and everybody has it. And when you understand who God is, who you are, and what his calling is on your life, you'll have this, confidence. You will have confidence. That's the second thing. It's confidence. It's understanding and confidence. Can we put that up there? It's the second aspect of spiritual disciplines. They bring us to the place of confidence. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." God's not given us a spirit of fear. You'll never receive anything from God if you're not in his presence. Get in his presence. Here's the results of living a spiritually disciplined life. And we're wrapping up. Here it is. Protection. It's protection. How is it that David could face a giant as a kid and look at him and say, "You're gonna die, sucker"? How could he say that? Because he knew God was with him. He understood who God was. He understood who he was. He understood in that moment there was a calling on his life to do what no one else could do, and it was face the giant. And he didn't even think about it because he knew God was with him. When you get to the place where you understand who God is, who you are, you begin to understand your calling and you step out in it, you are stepping into the place of God's protection. The result of a spiritually disciplined life is you walk in God's supernatural protection. The next thing that it brings is God's supernatural promotion. For David, that meant becoming king of a country, even though he was the youngest child of a lesser-known family in a small tribe. Because God promoted him. God promotes you when you trust him and you seek him and you spend time in his presence, and his spirit comes to rest in you in a powerful way. And he promotes you. Let me just say, that doesn't mean that you're going to get the next available opening that's one step above yours, but it does mean that God will put you in a position where you have influence with people to bring them to him. And then the last thing, it's God's provision. I know this, when I am in the middle of God's will, because I've spent time in his presence, because I've heard from him, because I know who he is, I'm beginning to see more clearly who I am, who he is, the calling that's on my life, and when I know that this is part of it and I step out in it, I don't have to worry about, I shouldn't be fearful, because I'm stepping into the place where God has ordained his protection is there. He promotes me, maybe not in a way that the world says promotion, but he promotes me. In other words, he uses me to make an impact. And he provides for me. I don't have to worry where the next meal is going to come from, how the bill is going to be, because God is putting me in this place, this position for this moment, because I've been in his presence. And that is the foundation of spiritual discipline. And the results, God uses you to transform the world. Let's bow our heads. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I want God to use me. And maybe I've neglected some of these things, but today he's speaking to me and he's drawing me to him. Maybe you're here and you know this message is for you. And that you don't feel like you live in a place of protection because you're constantly in a place of fear. That God is not in that place. When you invite him in, everything changes. And it can go from a place where you're afraid to a place where you're secure because you've surrendered to him and his purpose and his plan. It doesn't mean that enemies don't come. All you have to do is read Psalms and read Samuel and Kings about David and find out it's hard. But when you know God's with you, it's completely doable. Maybe you're here and you know God's speaking to you. You're not in a place of protection or promotion or provision, but God's calling to you today. If you're here and you say, Pastor, this message was for me, I sense that God is reaching down to me. He's calling out to me. I'm answering today. I'm saying, God, I'm seeking you with all my heart. This is, maybe you're here, you're already doing that, but this is for those that you know that it's not been the case. But today you're saying, I know I need to make a commitment because I believe to seek him. If that's you, just raise your hand and say, Pastor, this message is for me. I know it. Lots of people all over. Thank you. Can I just remind everyone here that God knows you and he loves you and he's calling you to him. Those that raised your hands, he just made the first step because you said he's knocking on the door of my heart and you're answering. And so, Father, I thank you that we have ears to hear you. May we trust you and walk in the fullness you have for us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Come on, can we celebrate what God's doing here? If God spoke to you today, and you were saying, what's next? Can I tell you what's next? When God connects you with him, the what's next is always twofold. Here's the first one, obedience. Follow him and trust him. And here's the second one, connection to people. Connect to godly people. Maybe God did something big in you today. Maybe today was the first time you said yes to Jesus, that you recognized your own sin and you surrendered your life to him. Connect with people. Maybe you're here and you're like, I think there's like a renewal of faith inside of me. You've connected with God, connect with people. That's why you see the crosses projected on the sidewalls here. Our ministry team members are there at the end of every service. Please pray with someone. If God did something in you, let us know. Fill out a connection card. You can drop that in the boxes by the doors on the way out or in the connection center. Or most importantly, if you would, pray with somebody, transformation takes place when we do that. Can y'all stand to your feet? Y'all have fun this morning? It's a great Sunday. Listen to me. God is at work in our church, in our body, and I know this. I say it, this is not cliche. The best is yet to come when we follow Jesus. Doesn't mean that it's always easy and fun, but it is the best. And let me just tell you, God knows you and loves you, has a plan for your life. I'm going to pray. We'll be dismissed. If you need prayer, you come when I say amen. Father, thank you for today. I pray a blessing on everyone here. We surrender to you, and may we be pleasing to you as we seek you and we follow you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Everybody said amen. You guys are dismissed. If you need prayer, you come. God bless.